tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Shall I fear? I know who goes. Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today, and I hope all of you have had a very blessed week. Today's message is about what do you fear? And that is such a big topic because we all fear something, and if we are willing to admit that. And so, before we start, I want to say a little something first. I spent a lot of time on preparation over the last several days. And I had worked up some things on my computer, and it seems as though I have did not save, or I did something. I'm not very computer savvy, so for some reason I have lost over half of my material. And so my sweet husband Shaziz and I, through part of this hour, are going to be winging some of it.
Woohoo!
And this is causing me a great deal of stress and anxiety this morning because I'm the type of person that I need to feel a little bit more in control of the situation than I do right at this moment. So
yeah, I'm good at flying by the seat of my pants.
Yes, he is very good at flying by the seat of his pants, but I am not. So I'm extremely anxious this morning.
We'll be all right, my love.
So anyway, we're going to do our best to give out, God's message today.
By the way, that song that you just played, God of Angel Armies, that's a powerful song.
It is. I love that song. It's wonderful. But anyway, before we get started, let's begin by bowing our heads in a moment of prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being near to our heart, the brokenhearted, and living in each of us. You are our mighty Savior. You take delight in our gladness. With love, you calm all our fears. You rejoice over us with joyful songs. You save the weak and the helpless. We are so thankful for your strength. You redeem those who have been mocked and shamed. You restore the nameless. Whatever you speak is accomplished. You are the strength of our life. You are our rock, our fortress, and protector. And therefore, whom shall I fear? You are our shield, strong tower, and stronghold. May our hearts be calmed when fear begins to lurk around us. May we remember that you are our Father, Lord of all. In whatever comes our way today, that there is no need to fear. You are in control. And dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel and the words that I speak today. And let these words be the words that you want to come out of my mouth and not from my own understanding. We thank you in advance for these answered prayers, what you have done for all of us, and what you are still about to do for us. And in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. You know, it's ironic, but it's not, that the very message I was going to be talking about today is, what do you fear? Well, folks, this is one of my greatest fears. Of failing, of sounding like a fool, of not being able to do this message by winging it, because that's not what I normally do. So I want to thank you all for joining me today, and thank you for joining me in that moment of prayer. I'm a little flabbergasted right now, but let's get started. Let's start out with one of my many favorite verses. And this is from Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear is a natural emotion common to all human beings. The Bible has some very specific things to say about fear. The Bible describes fear of man in terms of like a trap. And in Proverbs 29:25, the Bible tells us that the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. When we let fear take hold of us and we can't move beyond it in unhealthy ways, we are walking into a dangerous place because we are no longer trusting in the Lord. So now everyone knows what fear is, but just humor me for a moment as I pull up the definition of fear from the dictionary. The dictionary describes fear as an unpleasant, often strong emotion, anxious concern, reason for alarm, to be afraid of something, to feel fear in oneself, or to be apprehensive. And some of the synonyms associated with the word fear are things like dread, fright, horror, panic, fret, fuss, stew on things, trouble, worry. And fear is real, folks. Fear is the most general term and applies anxiety and implies anxiety and usually a loss of courage. Intense reluctance to face or meet a person or situation. It also implies an unreasonable or overwhelming feeling of hysteria. And for those who have some serious fears in their lives, you know that it can also create feelings of extreme terror, which is the most extreme feeling of fear, making you paralyzed with all kinds of unhealthy feelings. What are some of the fears that most often creep into your heart? Some of the most common fears that are that you might not ever get married or have children. You might be afraid of failing at work or losing your job. You may fear failing health, or what would happen if you were to get really ill or might even be faced with death. Others fear relationships, have fear over their faith or lack thereof. In whatever area you fear the most, that will be the area where Satan is targeting you the most. And Satan preys on our insecurities, our anxieties, our distress. He pours the gasoline of lies onto our fears. He tries to persuade us that God is powerless, indifferent, or distant from us. But in Ephesians 1:19, the Bible tells us that God is not powerless, but instead His power is immeasurably great. God is not indifferent toward you. He cares for you and I, as a father for His own child. And that reference is in 1 Peter 5:7. And in Psalm 145:18, the Bible tells us that God is not distant. He is near to all who call upon Him. But friends, He can feel far away from us when we are afraid. And sometimes He seems so far away from us because during those trials in our lives, we have put ourselves out of earshot from His Word. Friends, God made our brains incredibly complex to respond before we are even able to process the response. And from the physical aspect of things, fear starts with a stimulus that triggers chemicals in the brain that signal your heart, blood, and muscles to get ready for action. And these are called automatic responses, and we don't consciously control them. The fact that these are automatic is a good thing, mostly, because the physical responses are there to help us survive a dangerous situation by preparing us to either run or fight for our lives. But fear can also make us sick. When our body stays in that stress response all the time, caused by the constant worry and fear that we feel, it can't repair itself, folks. Bodily functions begin to break down, and they can only repair themselves when you are in a state of relaxation. And when our stress response is repetitively triggered, organs get damaged, and the body simply can no longer fix itself. The effects of chronic wear and tear on the human body can take its toll over time. And then we wind up sick. Our bodies were not made by God to withstand all of that. We were created to have joy and peace and to trust Him with all of our battles. We were never created with the intention of handling everything in life on our own. But it doesn't stop there, folks. Fear can really mess with your mind. Fear can make you lose perspective and abandon your sense of reason. And as we all know, the crushing power of worry can turn our heads just simply into mush. Fear can be a game changer for any area of our life. And that is why it is so important to recognize the place that fear has in our lives and move toward correcting it. The power of fear is probably one of the most destructive tools of Satan. Satan wants to blind us from what God wants to do in our lives. Satan can't stop God's plans, but he can surely keep us confused and distracted away from what God is saying to us and what is true. In Jeremiah 29:11, we are reminded of this simple truth. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This verse not only tells me that God is thinking about each one of us, but that He has a plan for each of us, and it's a good one. God's not plotting disaster for any of us. He is on our side. Satan does everything he can to make us forget all about that. Fear also very closely is related to worry and anxiety. Friends, worry, stress, anxiety, they really speak to me. I know how you feel. These things have been second nature to me for most of my life. I have to work really hard to let things go and give it to God. It does not come easy for me. In my own sinful nature, I am your typical A personality. I am outgoing, usually, but I also value my alone time, too. I'm ambitious. I'm rigidly organized. Well, in most things. But, of course, don't ask my husband Shaziz, because I do believe that I've become a lot less organized through the years. And I'm sure that he would really agree with you on that. I'm impatient. I'm anxious. I'm very concerned with time management. Oftentimes, I could probably be classified as a workaholic, but there again, I have slowed down a lot with age. But still, if I get something stuck in my mind, there is no getting it out until the job is complete. And my poor husband, Shaziz, can also confirm that, too, because once I get something stuck in my head that I'm going to do, or that I feel like I've got to get it done, you know, I become this compulsive, obsessive person, and nothing will stand in my way until it's finished. Type A's can be hasty, impulsive, on hyper alert, sometimes downright hostile and angry. God really has had His work cut out with me, and I'm still a work in progress, and thank God I am still a work in progress. I would be a real mess. Sometimes I am a real mess. But for those of you that have that same personality as I, you know that it's very difficult to rein that in, and you have to be constantly aware of what you are doing, or you can hurt someone, including yourselves, unintentionally. But mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, you could hurt someone or yourself. Now I have given you a window into my personality. I am far from perfect, and I struggle every day to be more and more Christ-like. But I do what I can to the best of the ability that I can. But I always ask God to help me be better and do better. As Christians, you would like to think that we would all be immune to such things. But God knows we are not perfect, that we are going to sin daily, no matter how hard we try to avoid it, because we are not perfect. His example is our shining light, what we strive to be like. But the truth of the matter is that every day, on some level or another, We are all going to stumble and fall from God's grace. But when you realize that this has happened, be quick to go to God, tell Him, and ask for His forgiveness. Friends, it's time to be honest with ourselves. We are all going to deal with fear in our lives. None of us are immune. God isn't even surprised by our fear. He created us, after all. And in fact, God directly addresses fear in the Bible over 300 times. In Psalm 56, David cries out, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." God doesn't try to hide the fact that we will have fear. He does not condemn or shame us because of it. But He does urge us multiple times in the Bible to not let it take control of our lives or define who we are. But He also always gives us the means to escape it. Let me share with you a few verses from Isaiah and another one from Psalm. Isaiah 41:13. "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" And in Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And in Psalm 23:4, "Even though I walk through the darkest of valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There are so many verses in the Bible that tell us, "Do not fear." They are written with the knowledge that life is full of scary stuff that will cause us the natural reaction of fear to rise up in us. The point of "fear not" is not meant as a, "Well, shame on you," but from God, but rather as a, "Son or daughter, I know you are afraid. Let me help you." So what are some of the things that you fear and that you worry about? Try to put some names to some of these. Where does your fear come from? Do they come from experience or somewhere else? I will start out by sharing a few of my greatest fears, besides the ones that I've already shared with you this morning. One of my greatest fears is that something will happen to myself, Shaziz, our children or grandchildren, and we will somehow lose each other through death or disability or whatever. Another fear is the time when my mom will eventually go to heaven. I hope I have many more good years and memories with her, but at some point, every one of us, our time on this earth will expire, and I wonder how well will I handle that when it comes. I fear financial loss. I fear the possibility that if something were to happen to Shaziz, that I may have to go back to work in this world. I used to be in banking for many, many years, and I loved it. It wasn't a job. It was pure passion. It was a labor of love. And then life happened, and I had to give up on that dream for a while. I won't go into a lot of great detail about that, but life happened. And I became a caregiver to many people. You know, there was a couple locally in town that needed me, that were aging and wheelchair bound, and my husband needed me, and my stepdaughter and my grandchildren needed me, and then my folks' health went bad and they needed me. And so praise God that I was able to be in a place where I did not have to work outside the home, that our finances were sufficient, because I was needed in so many other places. And if God had not taken care of us so abundantly and met our needs in such the way that He did, I wouldn't have been able to have helped so many people. And so praise God for that. You know, I'm grateful for that time, and I'm still doing those things. And now it's been nearly 20 years, but one day, when I am not needed elsewhere, it is my goal, my dream, to go back into banking again for a while. And I fear that it may not happen. But you know what? With God, all things are possible. I know fears though they are something to consider and to try to prepare for, you can't let fear stop you from living your life as God intended for each of us. Because if we allow that to be so, to control us, to paralyze us, we wouldn't get anywhere in this life. This life is worth taking chances. The only thing to fear is fear itself. Our mind can play some terrible tricks on us, and with Satan behind the scenes pulling all of those strings. But David wrote the Psalms, and he knew he could face horrifying trials because he knew where to turn during those horrifying trials. And in Psalms 56:3-4, the Bible reads, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" How, you might ask, does a person go from "I am afraid" to "do not fear"? And the answer is putting your faith in God, trusting Him to meet your needs, and pray. Pray about it, folks. And don't pray vague prayers. Pray very specific prayers. When you pray, be anchored. Anchor your pain and longing and fear into the very specific promises of God. Cling to the Word of God. The year that I stayed with my parents while Dad was so ill, I had plenty of trials and fears. But you know what? You know what got me through all those tremendously tough times? It was reading God's Word, praying very specific prayers, talking to God and casting my cares at His feet. There was absolutely no way I would have made it through that year if not for God being by my side, even carrying me when I could not find the strength to keep moving on. Friends, I had to make the decision and come to the realization that I didn't have control over anything. God had all the control. And dwelling on those trials and the huge mountain climb ahead of me wasn't going to do me any good, and it would not be helpful to my parents either. So instead, I purposefully chose to read God's Word, His promises, and focus on Him and the love He so freely gave to me and gives to each and every one of us every day. And one of the most comforting things for me during those really tough times was for me to visualize the arms of my Father, Him cloaked in His white robe, embracing me, rocking me, shushing my fears away, telling me, "It's going to be okay. Trust me, it's going to be okay." It's very comforting to know that God is my strong tower, my refuge, my strength, my comfort, my rock, my hiding place. We all know that we cannot see God physically as a man, though we see Him all the time around us in His beautiful creations. But have you ever thought about or visualized an invisible God and invisible dark forces of evil, both being a part of the space that you walk in, but invisible? God is staving off the evil from doing us any harm. He's doing battle with the evil, even though we can't physically see that. And this is how we can walk around with not so much as even a scratch on our head, because God's angel of armies are watching out for us every day, every moment of every day. And friends, the Bible can be an amazing source of encouragement and comfort in the most fearful moments of our lives. We are heartened to trust in the love of God and pursue the righteous teachings of His Word, especially when we feel afraid or we're anxious. And friends, I got to tell you, I encourage you, in fact, to go and just dig in to the book of Psalms, because, oh my gosh, it is one of my favorite books in the entire Bible, and it's a long one, but there is so much courage and comfort and hope in the Psalms. And Psalms, I mean, is just, they're just amazing. The love that you find in there, the strength and the courage and the comfort. And they have helped me personally through many, many, many times, trials and tribulations and fears. And so I encourage you, strongly encourage you, to please look up the Psalms and just read that whole book, because there's something in there for everybody. And so, with that having been said, I'd like to also include Shaziz on this radio show today and this message, and I want to hear some of his thoughts on what do you fear and fear itself.
What do I fear?
Well, it'd be a good thing, you know. I aired my fears out there today. So, what are some of your fears? What are some of your greatest fears that you would be willing to share with the audience?
Well, most of my greatest fears have to do with not myself, but like you was mentioning, the possibility that happened with family members, losing people you love, and even people around the world that we don't even know. You know, I got a big heart, so whenever I hear about other people's predicaments, I fear for them, you know.
Yeah, I can totally understand that.
As far as myself, you know, because of my faith, I can actually make it through that fear, and I can cope with life. You know, if it wasn't for my faith, I would probably have been lost it a long time ago, because we live in a strange world.
That's very true, and our fears are often connected to the things that we do love the most. We may fear losing something or someone we love, or we might fear that we will fail to obtain something that we desire. We may fear offending those that we love, or, you know, just things of that nature. The cause of our fear is often the love or admiration of something created, you know, by God Himself. But
Jesus said something about, He said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to the mountain and you could tell that mountain to move from here to there. That's a pretty big deal. So I'm trying to be real careful in my life not to speak power into fear, to where, you know, I'm afraid of all these things, and I don't even want to say them out loud. But, you know, I always ask for God to give me that strength. You know, so I'm not openly saying these words, and, you know, I'm afraid this is going to happen, I'm afraid that's going to happen.
I can completely relate to that, and one of the things that I will say about that is, you know, I feel the same way, and I fully believe that you can make fear a self-fulfilled prophecy. You can be so paralyzed by your own fear and think such negativity in your life that, you know, the mind and the heart and the soul and the tongue, they are such mighty powerful muscles in our being. And
they're mighty as a sword, that's what it was said.
That's right, and I fully believe that you can think and speak so much negativity over your life that you believe that. You truly believe that. And I believe that where your mind goes, your body will follow. I knew somebody in life. You knew that same person. I won't say what their names were, but we both know someone that had a very, very negative approach to life. And you can see what happened in their life as a result of that. And it's very sad.
And that's what I was wanting to say also, is that the power of your words can literally lift somebody's spirit up to the highest reaches of heaven, or lower their spirit down to the lowest, darkest abyss. That's how powerful your words are.
That's exactly right.
If you think about the God that we talk about, that our Creator, you said in the book that He spoke into existence all it is and made us in his image. And so, you know, with that said, and what the words that Jesus talked about to His disciples, He said, all these things that I do, you can do as well, and you will do greater things if you believe. And that's the thing about faith. You know, you said earlier, we can't see the battle, because the book also says that we don't fight against flesh and blood, that we fight against, you know, other dark forces, you know, that we can't see.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, that each and every one of us out there in the listening audience and here, you know, at some point or another, we could probably fill a whole sheet of paper up with reasons for fear.
Oh, yeah. Well, that darkness, it feeds on fear. The system that we live in today feeds on fear. I mean, you know, you see around election cycle where they're always telling everybody that, you know, this candidate's going to do this to Granny, and that candidate's going to do that, and they're going to take away your benefits or whatever, and they use that fear to get you to do things. And that's the same thing with the devil. You know, whether you believe in the devil or not, I think the greatest accomplishment the devil ever made was convince the world it didn't exist, because, you know, how can you fight against something that don't exist?
That's right. And if God is for you, then who can be against you? You know?
No man. No dark force can stand against you when you have your Creator on your side. That's the way I feel about it. And that, because I have that faith.
And when we're tempted to fear, we really need to remember that God is with us.
Yeah.
You know, and His promises stand, you know, that He will never leave nor forsake us, you know.
I've seen many a times in dark places where I was my worst enemy.
Yeah, that's another thing, too, and I can completely agree with that, too. You know, sometimes we're our own worst enemy, our own worst critic, and you know, we can cause things to happen to ourselves inadvertently.
Well, sometimes, you know, in our relationship, if I'm upset and I'm fearful about things, and I can actually drag you down into that abyss with me by telling you, you know, I'm afraid of this, and sometimes your strengths become... my weaknesses become your strengths, and vice versa. And you remind me of what it is that we have protecting us. And so I'm nowhere near as fearful. I could go anywhere in this world with you.
I feel the same way with you as well. I mean, you calm my fears all the time. And you know, God is calming my fears today over the show. And you are calming me a lot just in your presence and with your own just... calm sense of presence. And so, you know, I couldn't do this show today without you, because I would be a complete wreck.
Well, if you think that God created all that is, all the heavens and the earth and all the beings, and you and I had that power to do so, then why would God be not strong enough to help us through our worst times? I like that footprints poem, because it talks about when you was only seeing one footprint, one set of prints, that's when God was carrying you through those hard times.
And you know, in my life, I can look back on my life and I can clearly see where God has carried me, you know, and there have been times that I have felt forsaken and that God, you know, has forgotten me, but when I get through those trials and tribulations and back up to the next mountaintop and I look back where I came from, it's then that I truly realize that God never left my side. He carried me when I couldn't go on any further, when I couldn't walk anymore. He carried me from danger.
Something through all that, you know, when you're actually going through those times, things look a lot bleaker than what they really are. And so while you're going through it, it's really a problem.
Yeah, you can make a mountain into a molehill quite literally.
Yeah.
You know, our mind has a powerful way of doing things.
When you get to the other side, after it was all said and done, you tell yourself, I must have had an angel with me, because I can't believe that I've made it to this far.
That's true. And, you know, there have been many times in my own life that, you know, I just look up to the heavens and I think, God, you know, you really must underestimate my strength and my courage, because I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know, you know. But you know what? God always finds a way of escape. And we do all make it through our fears. And the great thing about all of our mess is we can go out there and carry it into the world and it can be a message for somebody else.
Yeah. There's been times you and I have been together that had we not have gone together, things would have turned out, you know, probably terrible for, you know, one of us might not be here, but because we were together constantly watching each other, we had each other covered. But I don't leave it at that, because we also had God watching out for us, because we always we got this habit, we're always praying 24 hours a day, every time we turn around, praying about something, especially when we're worried about our children, you know, something bad happening in our children, you know, please God put a protection over these kids and keep them safe. And it seems to be that all these years, you and I have been together for a long time, and our family, you know, they keep coming home, and we keep finding the strength to help those that are on their way to heaven. We do.
Well, you know, there is something to be said to be careful what you pray for, because a lot of things can come up. But, you know, I don't see it so much as trials and tribulations, but as opportunities to better myself, to help better somebody else, things like that. There's many times, you know, that I pray, Lord, please send me an opportunity, you know, to help somebody else. Send somebody my way, you know, that I can help, that needs to hear something. And Lord, please put those words in my mouth, that just the perfect thing that that person needs, you know.
Well, there's a funny comment in the chat room. It says, Ziz fears the comb ruining his mad science hair. You hit a nail on the head.
So true.
I did get a haircut recently because my wife had to, you know, she had to have a break from the mad science hair. It'll grow back.
I was really close to buying him a hat, you know. Say, here, honey, I love you, but this hat would look great on you right now.
If you're going to be a mad scientist, you got to look the part. You got to have the mad science hair, you know? Anyway, seriously, though, we spend a whole lot of time walking in a rut that we don't need to be in. When we fear, you don't usually make choices. You know, the most successful people in this world had to take some serious chances in order to succeed.
Yeah.
And if you and I had never took the chance on each other, we wouldn't have this beautiful family that we got now.
That's right, you know.
We let our fear rule us back then.
Well, it says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And, you know, there's just so many good verses about stuff like that. And another one that I like, too, is, you know, and I pray this a lot, you know, with my fears and things come up. I pray this for my family. Dear God, please put such a calm over whatever the situation is that it just surpasses all understanding, you know.
Yep. That's, I tell you what... Don't be afraid to speak your heart to God. Don't be afraid to share your love with each other. We got this thing. And together, you know, those things we call family, they pull us through the hardest times. We don't have to be afraid. We got our family. We got God beside us. We got God with us at all times. So, you know, you spend all that time in fear, it's like a boat anchor. It drag you down.
Yeah, and you know, there's some parables in the Bible about that. For instance, you know, with Peter and Jesus out in the water, and Jesus, you know, told Peter, come out and have faith and walk on the water. And he was doing great there for a little while until he lost his focus on Jesus.
He got scared and looked away.
And then he fell, you know. And there's another place there in the Bible where it says that... Jesus and his disciples were on a boat, and he was in the stern sleeping, and this raging storm was out there on the sea, and it was tossing them all about, and the disciples were very afraid, and so they went and they woke him up. I mean, he was restful about it. He wasn't worried at all, but they woke him up and said, Jesus, please calm the storm. And he just, with his mighty power, goes out there and says, be quiet, be still. And everything just calmed. And the disciples are looking at him like, you know, how did you do that? Who are you that you can have that kind of power and things like that? And he said, you know, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you too can do that. You can tell the mountain to move from one place to the other, and it will.
Well, you know, God did say we were created in His image, so, you know, I take words literally. And as far as I'm concerned, God don't lie. If He tells you He's going to be there for you, He's going to be there for you. The fear, you know, that's a human thing. That's a dark side thing. Want to get you all afraid, keep you fighting amongst each other. Fear that you're not going to have this or food or whatever. Where's my next meal coming from? What did Jesus do with that basket of fish and bread? You know.
That's right.
And so, I think everything's under control.
And also it says in the Bible, too, you know, that God even feeds and takes care of the birds, you know, and how much greater than they are we? You know, why would God take care of them and not us?
Yeah, well, I think if you actually go back and read the story, He had a reason for making us to begin with. He wanted us for companions, you know, so that's a great love.
And He created us for great things, you know, for abundance and for prosperity and joy and peace and things like that. And here in James 1:6-8, it says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways." You cannot doubt God.
Well, if you doubt a miracle, how can you receive it?
Well, that's right, you know. And if you don't believe in miracles, then you're not going to receive it either.
Yep. You know? I look at life a little bit different than a lot of people. I think that every single day, each and every one you listening in, you step over miracles all day long. This world in itself is a miracle.
And you don't even realize
it. It's just amazing. And look at your grandchildren. Look at your daughters and your sons. And they're just a miracle. If you want to see the miracle that God created that brought your grandchildren around, go take a look in the mirror. So what do you got to be afraid of after seeing all that?
Yeah, and you know, I'll share one personal experience. You know, I knew of someone who was not well and was in the hospital off and on for quite a long time and had surgeries and things. And this person was asking for a miracle, you know. And God put that through. God, you know, He saw him through surgery and all was well. And not only one surgery, but three surgeries and all was well. And still this person was saying, you know, "God, where are you? You know, why are you doing this to me?" You know, blaming God for things and never seen that God had already given him like three or four miracles.
Yeah.
It was just...
That's one thing you have to be able to recognize the miracles even occurring. I see it all the time. I see miracles in my family. I see miracles. It's a miracle I'm even sitting here after my childhood. Ask my mom. that's just a little tiny example. I know that God had my back all that time because there ain't no way I could have done that by myself.
Yeah, you can make a book about the adventures and experiences in your life.
Lives and times. That sure would be an interesting one. Lady, we're getting at the top of the hour there.
Yeah, I know. I believe I'm having such a good time with this.
So am I.
And I believe, you know, I kind of feel it in my heart that maybe we might run over a little bit today. I think there's still some things that God still wants us to say and to share with the folks out there. And you know, there's all... Fear has many faces, takes on many forms. I mean, you can have the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, the fear of...
The fear of falling from grace from my wife's eyes.
The fear of losing relationships. And there's so many fears out there. fears of judgment, you know, and all those things. And you know, fear of rejection, for instance. Not everyone is going to like you. And that's okay. But you know, God has something far greater in store for you. And along with that judgment, you also got to realize, you know, everybody is going through something in their lives just like you are. And they're all trying to figure it out just like you are. And here's a little twist to that. You know, while you're worried about maybe other people judging you, how do you look at people? Do you judge people? And that, too, is something natural to humans. It's just a part of our sinful nature. But if you're constantly looking at the speck in someone else's eye, you can't see the plank that's in your own eye. And so there's that, you know. I mean, you don't want to be judged, but none of us should be judging anyone else either, because we don't walk in their shoes. We don't know what they're going through, just as the same that they don't know what we are going through. We're all on a journey. We're all on a path. And no one can go on that journey or path for us. It is ours uniquely. And, you know, the fear of failure. There's no such thing as failure, folks, really. I mean, you may not succeed in whatever you're trying to do, but...
Well, you only fail if you don't try.
Well, and another thing with that, too, another little twist, you know, kind of some reverse psychology, I guess, but failure is not... It's really a lesson learned. It's not really a failure. It is something that you try over and over again to learn the right way to do something. All those so-called quote-unquote failures, it just means that the way you tried it doesn't work. Keep trying until you figure it out.
Yeah.
And so it's not really a failure. It's a good thing. And, you know, the fear of relationships, the fear of getting hurt. Folks, we're not immune to any of this, and that's life, you know. Life. Life is messy sometimes, but we can't not live our life to the fullest, you know. Things are going to happen, but God has so many good things in store for us, you know, and we can't not pursue relationships, whether that be friendships or marriages or, you know, whatever. We can't be so paralyzed by fear that we don't take chances with people, because we may be missing out on something really great, something that God intended for us, and we won't know unless we try, you know. And I always told my daughter, I said, I don't ever want to hear you say, I quit, I fail, whatever. You know, that was never a part. I would never allow that to be a part of our vocabulary. You know, and she says today she still remembers that. You know, that you don't say you just quit. You try first. You know, and then if it doesn't work out, you did your very best. And that's all that anybody can ask. But, you know, so many times, figuratively speaking, I read something a while back, and it really kind of stuck in my head. When God created each and every one of us, He created something, and this is all figuratively speaking, but just bear with me and try to vision this. When you're created, God has something great in store for your life. Abundance, prosperity, success, you know, just joy, love, all these things. And picture a place like you might put something valuable on a shelf, okay? And you go to that and you pull things out from time to time. Well, figuratively speaking, God kind of does the same thing. You know, all these wonderful things that He has in store for you in, throughout your entire life. As long as you are following Him, obeying Him, living your life to the best that you can, in His Word, and doing all these things, you know, righteous, then, you know, giving and loving others and so on and so forth, little increments of abundance and goodness come to you every day. But if you're not following the right path, and if you're fear, if you're paralyzed by fear about something, or you stray away from God, you allow Satan to have that impact in your life, then all those good things that God had in store for you will remain on the shelf with your name on it, but they won't go anywhere. They won't be used, you know. They'll just sit there. And when I think about that, you know, I think of like a cabinet or maybe a barn. And the things that are in the cabinet or in the barn are to be used. But if for whatever reason you walk away from the cabinet or the barn and you lock the door and you forget about it, all that goodness, all those treasures are just stored up in whatever, collecting cobwebs and getting dirty and of disrepair. And that's kind of what happens to our life, wouldn't you agree?
Yep. You can't take it with you.
That's right.
We spend a time, spend a long time trying to build this perfect world and don't realize you ain't taking it with you. We try to leave what we can behind for our children. That's a common sense and a good thing. But we're afraid of losing everything all the time when we have everything to gain if we just believe in our God.
Yeah, you know, and all of our graves are the same size. You can't, like you said, you can't take anything with you.
You know, your pockets are going to be just as empty as they were the day you were born.
And you know, another thing, too, it takes each and every one of us. God created all of us individually and uniquely with different talents and different gifts. And if you don't, we're all pieces of a giant puzzle. And if any one of those pieces are missing, the puzzle is not complete. And when I was a lot younger, I used to sit around from time to time and think, what is my purpose? Why am I here? You know? And it was always something that I pondered. And I didn't have an answer for back in the day. I couldn't figure it out. But you know, over time and the closer that I've gotten to God and so on and so forth, I realize that He gives each and every one of us a talent and a gift. And they're all different. They're all uniquely designed for us. And like our bodies, you know, we have arms and legs and ears and eyes and a brain and a neck to turn our heads to see different things and a waist to twist, you know, and organs inside our body that do different things.
It's better than all of that. Part of Angeline's comment in the chat room, it's a miracle that man has not already wiped himself out and he has tried.
That's very
true. But here's the thing. If you really take a look at God's creation, which is this world that we live in, this thing is so amazing. It's a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions, has more than enough resources for every living being on this world. Now, we're the caretakers. We're down here tending to the garden, and sometimes we fall short of that duty. But the thing about it, in God's infinite wisdom, He literally built a system knowing our flaws and our weaknesses that was going to sustain itself while we tried to get our act together and learn whatever it is that our purpose was to be here. So,
and that was kind of the point of where I was going. You know, it takes, we are like individual pieces, like like the body. You know, we have to have all of these things to work correctly, to function, our bodies to function correctly. And if any one thing is missing, say if you lose a limb, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
And so in the same sense, you know, that's the way it is in this world that God created. We all need each other. And
if we came together.
And if any one of us is trapped by fear, then we are not doing the part that God designed us to do in the big grand scheme of things.
Yeah. You take one little tiny gear out of that big old Swiss watch or clock or whatever, take that one little tiny gear out, and the rest of the system doesn't work like it was meant to.
And I think so many people can get so caught up and so wrapped up and ensnared by their own fear that they simply do not realize how very, very, very important they are to the wheel.
They're all valuable.
They are. You know, and there's nothing to fear but fear itself, folks.
That amazing, humble man that drew that painting on the wall that you introduced me to, it's one of the tiny little gifts that was given to all men and all women in this world that by themselves might be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But you put all these gifts that our God scattered throughout the entire land, gave us all a piece of that puzzle, gave us all a talent, a skill, something that we do really good. And by ourselves, we might be able to do some amazing things. But together, we make the big picture. We make the perfect machine. We are capable of so much more. And I think that is our purpose for being down here. You know, nobody knows what the ultimate plan is. But I just feel so deep in my heart that we're like in school. We're here to learn something really profound.
Right.
And if we get our act together and we start working with one another, we can make this world so amazing.
Yeah, we all have strengths. We just have to find that strength within ourselves. And you know, there's a quote that I just absolutely love by Hunter S. Thompson. And you know, he is an inspiration to me with this quote, and I just love it. And I really and truly hope that I can say and do this with my own life. But life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, sorely used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride!" I love that. You know?
Yep.
But anyway, I want to go ahead and play a couple of songs here, and we will be right back. I know we're already, the hour is up, but I want to go ahead and play a couple of songs here and come back and share a few more things with you, and then we'll wrap it up with the two final songs. So this first one is Fear is a Liar by Zach Williams. And the second one is The Breakup Song by Francesca Bettistelli.
You're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough.
let your fire fall, cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love's all I fear. Let your fire fall, cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love's all I fear. Let your fire.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Had as much of you as I can take. I'm so done, so over being afraid. I've gone through the motions, I've been back and forth. I know that you're thinking you've heard this before. I don't know how to say it, so I'm just gonna say it, yeah. Fear you don't own me. There ain't no room in this story. And I ain't got time for you telling me what I'm not like. You know me. Well, guess what? I know who I am. I know I'm strong. And I am free. Settling. You probably never saw it coming. Something's gotta give, so I give up you. Oh, there's no room for you here. Yeah, I've had enough. The no vacancy sign on my heart is lit up. In case you didn't hear it, here it is again. Oh. Just like me.
Anybody out there?
Anybody needing fear to leave?
Ooh, yeah.
If you don't know how to say it, sing along with me. Sing fear you don't know.
Well, thank you, folks, for all joining in today. And today's message is, what do you fear? And, folks, if you've ever been afraid of anything, I'm going to say this, and it may sound a little harsh, but it's the cold, hard facts, the reality. If you are having a hard time, if you have ever been afraid or you are currently fearful of something, it is time to get over it, folks. It really is. You know, sometimes you have to put yourself out there and make yourself step outside of your comfort zone. And I'll share a little something else about me. I went to Worlds of Fun when I was a senior in high school. And for those of you who don't know what Worlds of Fun is, it's a huge amusement park. And it's full of some very tall roller coasters and Ferris wheels and things like that. But I went in my senior year with my classmates, and I was leery about it from the get-go because I have to have my feet on the ground. I'm not afraid of heights, but I'm afraid of being out of control, and that should something go awry, that I would not be able to save myself. And so, anyway, I thought I'd give it a go, you know. And I got on some of those things, and I was beyond terrified. And so, for that reason, I never went back to Worlds of Fun. And my daughter was born, and it's not fair that just because I'm afraid of something that she shouldn't experience it for herself and, you know, judge it upon her own experiences. And so, thankfully, her dad, he loved Worlds of Fun, and he shared that love with her. And she had a blast, so it was a win-win situation for all of us. But several years ago, one of my best friends, they were having a local carnival here in town, and I went, and I'd gone so many times to that same carnival with my daughter, and we always went on the safe rides, and she was a lot younger, and, you know, we had the teacup rides and things like that, and that's about my speed, to be quite honest. And so, but I never went on the Ferris wheels there. And I avoided them like the plague because I knew I had it set in my mind that I would not like them based upon my experience at Worlds of Fun. But this one year, my girlfriend, she wanted me to go with her and her family. And by this time, you know, Kara's grown up and out on her own, and she's an adult herself. And so all these years have spanned. Well, I decided, why not? It sounds like fun. Well, my best friend loves Ferris wheels. And so I didn't want to, I guess I let a little peer pressure get to me because I was like, oh, how bad can this be? This thing's only like some 30 feet off of the ground. You know, what can possibly happen? And so as we get on and the wheel starts to go up, up, up with, you know, with each ride, with each little thing that gets filled up with people until it's full and it starts going. And of course our bucket is swaying. And I am terrified. Just as before, I am holding on to my friend's hand. I wouldn't be surprised if I crushed every bone in her hand. I was so afraid. And, you know, she thought that was pretty amusing, and if I had been in her shoes, I probably would have found it to be pretty amusing myself. I mean, I must have looked pretty foolish up there, a grown woman, with this Ferris wheel. But, you know, she ended up talking me into going on to that same ride again, you know, some two or three, four times after the fact. And I made myself go back and be talked into it each time. And each time that I did that, the fear got a little less and a little less and a little less, and I can't say that I ever got fully comfortable with it, because a few years after that, my husband and I went to Michigan, and we found ourselves on a Ferris wheel, and I was a little uneasy, but it didn't make me afraid like it always had before. And there was even some other rides at this local fair, though. One was it was kind of like a helicopter thing, but you strapped in, you were strapped into this thing on your belly.
A simulator?
No, I don't think it was a simulator, but you, I don't remember the names of these next two, but anyway, you get strapped in on like a flat board, and you were laying on your stomach, and you would start going round and round in circles, and it would raise higher and higher and lower and then higher again, and
I'd lose my lunch on that one.
And it made you feel as if you were truly flying like a bird.
Huh.
And I actually did kind of like that one. That one didn't bother me so much, but then there was another one, and it may have been some type of assimilator, I'm not sure, but it was, you get into this cart, and it would swing like a pendulum from side to side until eventually it would get up the momentum that you would go full circle. Now that one really made me uneasy, and I only went on that one once because I thought I was going to lose my lunch.
No, the one I was talking about was at the military base where they had that flight simulator that you and I got in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I loved that one.
That one goes but, upside down. And
oh, yeah, that was cool. I loved that one. I was like, more. But anyway, there's a lot of fears out there, as we touched base on before. There's a lot of fears out there, you know, that people can feel, and you can probably think back to some moment in your life when you avoided or suppressed or hid something, and you missed out on some really good things, some really good opportunities. But, you know, as I said before, you know, Shaziz and I touched base on it a little bit before, you know, the fear of inadequacy, the fear of, you know, not being good enough. But God didn't make no trash. Every single one of us is a treasure. And you will always be good enough and worthy, you know. And so there's no need to fear that. And the fear of uncertainty, you know. The fear of the unknown. But you have to fix this thing that's holding you back in your life. You know, you can't fear the uncertainty. Fear of failure, as I said before. You know, sometimes life just doesn't go exactly as you planned, but that's okay, you know, because God has something far greater in store for you, and it's okay if your life doesn't go as you had imagined. Most times, it's far better God's way than your way. And fear of rejection, as I said before, you know, you need to devote every ounce of passion to your life, to living the life that God meant for you to live. You have to put that passion in there and put it to work, you know, and be satisfied with giving life our all the time. And then, you know, there's the fear of maybe missing out on something, or the fear of change. Fear of change is a big one, you know, and the fear of change is a very common one. Worrying about change ahead does nothing but rob us of our present joy, you know, and experiences. You know, for instance, maybe you're not happy with your job or something, but you're so comfortable settling for where you're at that you're afraid of change. You're afraid to try to get out there and find something else better for yourself. Think of what you could miss if you allow that to happen. Or, you know, the fear of change, you know, moving to a different location. I've had to do that a few times, not like in from state to state, which would be far scarier, I'm sure, but, you know, it's a new adventure, folks. I mean, the world is wide open. You know, there's so much room for adventure and exploring and experiencing. And
there are healthy fears.
Yeah, there are like, healthy fears.
Like the fear of slapping a rattlesnake. That's probably common sense. Don't do it.
That's right. You know, and God has instilled in us a good healthy fear as well, you know, to know that whether we should run for something or fight for our lives. And that's a good sense of fear. But there's also a lot of unhealthy fears, too.
Yeah.
There's the fear of something bad happening all the time. You know, as I said, Shaziz and I know of someone who always had that fear. Something bad is going to happen all the time.
Dwelling in negativity will drag you down and rob you of your life.
It surely will. It surely will. So,
that's the kind of fear that we were warned against. It wasn't the healthy fear, like not slapping a rattlesnake. That should be common sense.
Well, I wouldn't even get that far. I wouldn't even get that close. I would be in another state before all that happened, because I am way beyond terrified of snakes. That's being afraid of a snake. For me to say that is an extreme understatement, because, you know, my daughter Kara, a little prankster that she is, my whole family knows how terrified of snakes that I am, and you know, they will send me a picture on my phone. Well, the only way to delete that from my phone is to touch the picture. And I have since thought of a way around that, you know, to give my phone to Shaziz and say, here, touch this and delete it. But, you know, there was a, I don't know, it was a couple of months ago, I was sitting in our house, and my daughter Kara and my soon-to-be daughter-in-law were sitting around on the couch, and we were talking, and I was so passionate about what I was saying that I totally did not see Kara putting this little fake snake from Dollar General like a foot from my leg. And so I'm so passionately, I'm just talking on, just rambling and going at it. And then all of a sudden, I look down and I see this snake. And I swear to you, we almost had a hole in the ceiling to fix, because I could not get off of that couch fast enough. And Kara and my soon-to-be daughter-in-law were just laughing. And she says, well, Mom, that thing's been there like 20 minutes. Well, had I have known that, I wouldn't have been there. Some are spiders. My daughter is spiders. So
there's a lot of rubber spiders and snakes running around here. Yes. There's a lot of pranksters.
Yes, there are. We are a family of a lot of love and a lot of pranks and a lot of laughter. Yeah.
Well, when you live out in the country, you got to get used to the critters.
That's true.
And or you ain't going to make it.
And Shaziz is always laughing at me, because he's like, you were born and raised in the country. Girl, why are you afraid of this, and this, you know? Huh. And I'm like, I don't know. I've always been that way.
It'll be all right. I'll protect you.
Yep. So anyway, this wraps up our show for today. And I just want to say a little prayer, a little closing prayer right now. And dear Heavenly Father, we all face fears in our life. And you say in the Bible over and over again, do not fear. And so, Father, help each and every single one of us to realize the healthy fears from the unhealthy fears, and to help us to not fear those things that give us grief so much in our lives, like the fear of rejection or the fear of change or whatever, Lord. Time and time again, your promises are in the Bible, that we can count on you, that we can trust you, that we can love you, and that you will never forsake us. And we can live on those promises and know that they are true, and that we are going to be okay in whatever we do in our life, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you for that. And we give you all the glory for everything, every good thing that happens in our lives, Lord. And we trust that you will guide us through these fears in the future. And in Jesus' name, and in God's people said, amen.
Amen.
And so, folks, until next time, same place. I hope that God has really richly blessed you with today's message. I hope each and one of you have taken something away from this, that those of you who really needed to hear this have really, really heard this, and it has resonated in your heart and in your mind. And so we have two more songs to play. One is Overcomer by Mandissa, and the other one is The Fight Song by Rachel Platten. They are very uplifting, encouraging songs. I love these songs. And so please, I encourage you to stay around for these next two songs. It'll be about an additional 7 minutes. And so if you don't have something else going on, please stay around and listen to these songs. You will be richly, richly blessed by them. So I love you all. Have a good week.
when I'm chasing sleep. Everybody's worried about me. In too deep, say I'm in too deep. It's been 2 years, I miss my home. But there's a fire burning in my bones. Still believe, yeah, I still believe. None of those things I didn't say. Wrecking balls inside my brain. I was screaming loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song. My power's turned on. Started right now, I'll be strong. I'll play my fight song. And I don't really care if nobody else believes. Cause I still got a lot of fight left in me. Sending big waves into motion. Like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. This is my fight song. Take back my life. Still got a lot of fight left.